For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
He's got all the insight of what you want to know and maybe some of what you don't want to know. Here's K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald.
And we are excited to be back into football season, back into the swing of things. Tim Fitzgerald joins us to kick off hour number two here on a Thursday of Sports Daily. Tim Fitzgerald and gang, if you're watching on our video stream, you can see the pups have made an appearance. Always appreciate them stopping by. They usually have something to say in the background for Fitz as we get ready. GoPowerCat.com, getting you ready. That's where you find Fitz's work, at Life of Fitz on social media. How does it feel, Tim? Like, we're here. This season we've been talking about all summer long is here. In a couple of days, K-State will take the field for the first time behind Avery Johnson, a new offensive coordinator, a few new wrinkles, and expectations as high as they've ever been.
Yeah, I'm glad it's game week. I'm glad most of my pregame talking is over. We released our PowerCat pregame podcast last night at midnight, or this morning at midnight. So I have one more story to write, boys, and then I'm ready for the game. I'm so tired of talking about it. I'm so tired of writing about it. I'm so tired of tired. I'm really tired. But the game's Saturday night, and I'm fired up.
Fitz, we just talked in our last segment about the KU-Lindenwood matchup tonight. And Lindenwood is an FCS team, and so is UT Martin, but they're completely different kinds of FCS teams. And UT Martin, they were a top 25 team in FCS last year. So while it's still a completely different level of college football, this is a Skyhawks team that has won games at their level before. What do you expect from them this weekend?
They'll be competitive as best they can. I also expect them, and this is just a theory, that if it gets out of hand, they too will clear their benches and try to get some guys experience, because they play SEMO next week, and SEMO is their rival. And they've always played them at the end of the season, but this year it's week two, which is odd. It's also on the road for the Skyhawks. So I think they'll stay in it as long as they can. They'll keep playing their dudes. But I think once it gets out of hand, it'll really get out of hand, because they, too, will lighten their benches and get everyone in, just like K-State will. But it could also be a really competitive game, because, as you said, this is a team that knows how to win. This is a team that has been productive at the FCS level, although, according to the polls, there might be a drop-off this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it hard, is sometimes you go into reputations with these programs, but if we're all being honest, like, we don't know anything about their players. Yeah. It's hard enough to keep up with the players that move around in the Big 12, let alone at FCS schools that play in these types of games. I mean, Vegas sees it as 37 points. Of these types of games, that's not a massive margin. I mean, it fits, and you know, I kind of like K-State on the number. I don't know what the hell to do with those kinds of numbers, but it really kind of, you mentioned UT Martin may pull their guys, which is interesting. At what point, or do K-State pull guys, or, and we just had this same discussion with KU, it's sort of a similar situation, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, lines that need to show you something on both sides. It's sort of a very similar path for K-State. Yeah. Do you pull them, or do you want the reps there for all the new components of the offense?
Jacob, it's a great point. It really is. You know, normally as a coach, you want to pull players and put other guys in to get them experience, but also, let's be blunt, to not try to completely humiliate an opponent. And I think that's kind of out the window in a way with the new playoff. You got to show. You got to run it up. And it's a sad reality of what the Big 12 is facing. I think this is a problem that the Big 12 and ACC faces. If you're going to win by as many points as possible. But that Kansas State also has a lot of young players that they're going to be counting on next week at Tulane, the week after with Arizona, the week after going to BYU and Oklahoma State, then coming in. So you need to get them experience, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. Those second stringers are so, so important and promising. They love these young players. They just need to get on the field some more. So we'll see how they balance that with settling into what they have and what they need to get ready and getting some other guys ready.
Fitz, there is so much depth defensively for the Wildcats, and we know, you know, the big names, the guys that are set to make a large impact this season for Joe Klanderman's defense. But there are also a handful of players that, you know, depending on how things shake out, I'm not sure that we fully yet know who first string is going to be, who second string is going to be, like that sort of thing. So in a game like, you know, what they're facing this weekend against UT Martin, do you think we'll have some, you know, more places solidified with some of these defenders after the game? Or do you think even going into Tulane, there still might be question marks about exactly who's going to fill what role defensively?
Yeah, you're right, Tommy. I think there will be some questions even after this game because, again, with all respect to UT Martin, it's not a full measuring stick here. You might get a bit better with that against Tulane, but certainly by the time you get Arizona in, you're going to find out who can stand up to Big 12 type of personnel. And, you know, that's really the question. You can be a star in this game because you might be a star at the FCS level, but are you going to be a star at the Big 12 FBS level? That's the question. But they need to start getting some of these guys on the field so we see how they respond to game situations, particularly these young defensive ends that they're raving about. Let's see who turns it up in the game and makes some plays.
Connor Riley, Matt Wells, they have had now their full off season. How is that going? What roles on game day? Are we absolutely definitive on which of the two is going to call the plays, on how that works and looks? We know they're co-offensive coordinators. Do you think the offense overall looks like it did with Colin Klein, or is it something totally different?
That I don't know. That's going to be interesting. I know that bringing in Matt Wells, they've layered in some of his elements of his passing game, which I think will work with Avery Johnson exceptionally well. A lot of play action, a lot of short passes that put athletes into space, and a lot of, you know, read option where Avery can decide if he's running or throwing or handing it off. So I think we'll see more of that than we have in the past. And there's the dogs. And it's going to be interesting to see how that all unveils itself. But I think the offense is going to look quite a bit like what we saw in the bowl game. They're going to be really reserved in this. They're not going to put Avery in peril. They're going to ask him to, you know, run out of bounds and throw it away. Unless it gets really competitive. And as we saw in the bowl game, once they needed a touchdown, they cracked open that playbook a little bit and got it done. I think that's what we'll see. They don't want him to get off to a bad start or get injured in a game such as this. So I think they'll be cautious. But Connor Riley will be in the box calling the plays with input from Matt Wells, who will be down on the field. So we'll see how this all works out.
We've spent a lot of time, Fitz, during the offseason talking about the wide receiver room at K-State and how that will all shake out as this season progresses. I think, you know, the one wide receiver, I'm excited to see all of them, to be honest with you, but I think the one I'm most excited to see is how Jace Brown performs, not only this weekend, but throughout the entire season. It's been a kind of a small sample size with him and Avery Johnson, but in the Pop-Tarts Bowl last year, they showed quite a bit of chemistry, and Brown had a great bowl game for the Wildcats. And I would anticipate that that's going to be a connection that we see continue to grow and evolve this season.
Yeah, when those two arrived in the same recruiting class, they were roommates, and they threw the ball around a lot. And it showed up. I mean, you could see that chemistry. I think you'll have that with Dylan Edwards now, too, because they've fallen into that same kind of sequence. Chase Brown just showed the very tip of his potential. And I don't know what his complete role will be on this team, but he's going to see a lot of action. He's an incredibly reliable receiver for Avery Johnson. He's a great fit in this offense. But with a healthy Keegan Johnson and some other weapons at receiver coming on, this is a really deep receiver room for the first time at K-State in a very long time, well before Chris Klieman arrived. So he's going to have some people to compete with and getting the ball, but he's going to play a big role.
Well, look, it's deep. I will concede that. But is it talented? Mm-hmm. Because they lost Brooks and Sinnott to the NFL. And
right.
I think, you know, if you're asking people like who were the I mean, those were the guys, they're both gone. So maybe it's deep, but is it good enough? I guess would be my question to that.
You know, Phillip Brooks was a warrior through his 12 years at Kansas State. He just really delivered a lot of big plays. But I think we're going to see some guys come on now and fill that role, including Dylan Edwards. And I think they'll be just fine. Tied in with Ben Sinnott, it's a different story. They've got three guys they love there, but put together, can they do everything Ben Sinnott did? It's incredible in hindsight what he did. He was a fullback. He'd split out as a wide receiver. And, oh, yeah, he played tight end and blocked really well.
Right.
So, besides, I mean, just catching the ball. So they're gonna, that tight end is going to be an interesting rotation to follow. But I think a receiver, you know, we got a guy like Trey Spivey who ended up redshirting last year who's incredibly promising. And Dante Cephas comes in as a transfer, maybe a little bit behind on the playbook. And Jaden Jackson continues to kind of lurk back there after having a big game in the opener last year. Now will he kind of follow up with a bigger season?
You know, it's interesting, Fitz, going back to last season, the losses that the Wildcats suffered a year ago were all extremely close. In fact, I think what the largest margin of defeat that they had was 8 points that game in Stillwater against Oklahoma State. Other than that, it was all closer, you know, than that. So, you know, in a lot of cases, that can mean one or two things going a different way for Kansas State, and it could have been a completely different result and outcome. And you can't always game plan for some of those things, but going into this season, do you notice or do you think of something that they need to do better this season to try to avoid that same fate this year?
I think this offense will have more of an ability to be explosive. you know, Will Howard, for all the good stuff he did, was kind of more of a game manager than the playmaker. You know, his first year, he's handing it to Deuce, getting the ball to Deuce. And last year, maybe they just didn't have the weapons, to be real honest. And they leaned on DJ Giddens a lot, and receiver was kind of questionable because Keegan Johnson was banged up. But with Avery back there, healthy receivers, you know, Dylan Edwards adding into the mix of things, I think they'll just be more explosive. They'll get more long touchdowns, which then, you know, oddly, it turns around and puts pressure on your defense because now they got to go back on the field. So, you know, at times the defense benefits from that ball control offense. So this is going to maybe be a little bit different brand of K-State football than we've seen the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, it for sure is. It just like Will Howard is going to help Ohio State win a lot of games. I agree with you on that. I just think it's very, I don't know, very different than what we're looking at. I want to go to Avery and get a prediction from you. I'm trying to look here at last year's game against NC State. I want to give you an over-under on pass attempts for Avery Johnson. And I think I'm going to put it as low, over-under 15 pass attempts for Avery Johnson in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to go not over on that because I think we're going to see shorter passes in this offense that are essentially elongated handoffs. You know, the little shovel pass with the receiver in motion. I've seen them practice that. I think that'll be on the field. I think they're going to run a lot of screens, whether they're, you know, behind the line of scrimmage or, you know, just something, a little bubble screen a little bit down the field. I'm not sure how they'll manifest itself, but I think they're going to have a little more control in this passing game and then take those hits deeper. So I think he'll go over 15.
31 was the number against NC State. I guess it becomes a bigger question of how much does he play.
Yeah, that's true. That's very
true. But he's got to complete a lot of the passes, right? I mean, that's the thing. If you look at that performance, yeah, it was right at or just under a 50% completion percentage. Like that accuracy, we can say, you know, he's far more explosive than Will Howard and all these things, but he's got to be able to, we know he's got a cannon, but have you seen anything there on that in this off season? And, you know, can he be a 65% completion guy?
Oh yeah, he can. Again, his command in the bowl game was, don't take these chances. You know, there'll be a time for that. Just, I would love to go have someone go back, because I'm not going to do it, and look at that bowl game and see how many throwaways he had.
Just, yeah, right.
I'm chucking it out of bounds.
It was a lot.
It's what the coaches want, so I'm going to do it. And you know what? Avery's a really smart player, and maybe he knew when and where to take those chances, and at that point in the game it wasn't. But I think he'll get up there again. I feel like he's going to have more options at receivers and more playmakers, so maybe more guys will be available downfield.
All right, Fitz. Well, what do you guys have to go, Power Cat? I know you said you've got one more to write. There's all kinds of coverage there, but what can folks get ready with?
Man, we got so much going on right now, Go Power Cat. By the way, we're 75% off as a celebration to kick off. Thanks for reminding me. I need to get that on the website. We've got the Power Cat pregame podcast. It's up, my daily delivery, lots of coverage from the boys, written content, VIP, free. I think we've got 7 content items slated today alone. And if you're a Big 12 fan or a fan of another school in the Big 12, our Big 12 Insiders channel just released its first ever Big 12 Game Day edition with a panel of Big 12 publishers from the 24/7 network talking about all the games in the conference. I think it's a pretty cool thing. And all that's available at Go Power Cat.
Let's see if KU can get this magic season started right tonight. K-State will take its chance Saturday. Fitz, we appreciate it. You can follow him on social media at Life of Fitz. GoPowerCat.com. Let's do it again next week.
You bet. Thanks to all that are playing on Thursday night for my joy. I need football.
Yeah. All right, Fitz.
Thanks, boys.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald. If you missed any of that, you can listen to it always for free on the Odyssey app. We podcast the show out there every single day. You can also go back and watch on our video streams, YouTube, X, Facebook, and of course on 12 News Connected. We'll come back. We'll begin to dig into this Astros series for the Kansas City Royals. When we return, don't go away. It's all Brockton Caster at Sports Daily on a football game day Thursday. How does that sound?
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Glad to be here with you on Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrock and Tommy Caster. We are getting you ready for, a football day, a big day on the Major League Baseball schedule as we get the Royals opening up a series down in Houston. Brady Singer takes the mound against Hunter Brown. Pitching-wise, there have been a lot of times, Tommy, throughout this season where we've gone through and looked at the pitching matchups and been like, okay, let's evaluate this from the starters. I don't know that we're at that point anymore with the current state of the Royals rotation with a couple injuries. At the moment, Cole Reagans appears to be on the docket to start that third game. We assume that will be the case. So then it would go Singer, Lugo, Reagans, Marsh, because Lorenzen is now on the IL. I guess it's, for me, it's kind of, I'll believe it when I see it a little bit. Because I just don't know if he's going to be ready to bounce back that quick, but does it even really matter?
Well, I do think that it is important to note historically the way that the Royals have approached injuries. And I know we talked to Mike Gillespie on Tuesday about this specifically with Reagans, that if it's something serious, usually the Royals don't come out and say anything at all. Matt Cotura was fairly definitive that Reagans was fine. And usually when that happens, that means that the player is typically fine. So I'm not at that point where I'm like, oh, I'll see it. You know, I got to see it to believe it that Reagans is okay. Until he gets scratched from the start, I'm anticipating him being out there and hopefully him being effective and bouncing back from what's been a sort of rough stretch for Reagans as of late. So that's kind of the way that I'm approaching this. As far as the game tonight is concerned, you know, Brady Singer had a really bad outing his last time out against the Phillies. That was one of the games that the Phillies blew the Royals out last weekend. But The last time Brady Singer faced the Astros was early in the season, and it was a resounding victory for the Royals, and they just beat up on Houston. The opposing pitcher tonight for the Astros was the same opposing pitcher in that game at Kauffman earlier this season. It was Hunter Brown, and Brown gave up a ton of runs to Kansas City. So, you know, all in all, I do like this matchup tonight, and we've seen it before this season, and the Royals came out on top pretty definitively.
Yeah, Singer is impossible for me to guess at which one we're going to get. I don't know, you know, because his style in the Astros are favored tonight, but it's odd with Singer because Singer's kind of going to do what he does, and it would be a little strange. I would think the Astros are a team that would typically, and they didn't in that meeting earlier this year, be good against Singer because they can hit the ball out of the yard. The other team's going to put the ball in play when Singer's on the mound. So we'll see. We look at this. It's a 4-game set. Same as Cleveland. Good with the split here. I think I'm probably good with the split, considering the state of the rotation.
Yeah.
Maybe even more so, I'd be good with the split considering the uncertainty in the rotation right now.
Yeah, I think that is, probably a fair expectation going into this weekend. I think in my mind, it has less to do with the opponent. And I know that the Astros have been hot and cold, and they're not particularly hot right now. At one point, they were the hottest team in Major League Baseball, and they've cooled off, you know, pretty significantly since that time. It's not about that. It's not even about the fact that the games are in Houston. It's the fact that this is an extremely grueling stretch of baseball for Kansas City, and more so from the fact that they've already played 4 straight games this week, 4 in 3 days, and they're continuing this road trip. They flew from Cleveland to Houston, immediately following the day game yesterday, and they don't get another break for a week. And so it's an already tired bullpen. It's a rotation that has dealt with some injuries and issues over the last few days. And I think that could potentially also extend, you know, to the lineup as well with a little bit of fatigue. So knowing all of that and bringing all of that together, yeah, I think I would feel pretty good about getting out of Houston with a split this weekend.
I hope for a split. But the good news is, though, they have some cushion, right? And this is what you like to see as much as anything about Cleveland. They do sit now still a game behind Cleveland with the loss yesterday. But when you look at the wild card, the cushion we've been talking about exists at the moment, right? You're 2.5 clear of Minnesota. You're 3 clear of Boston, who's won a couple of row. And Detroit just decided they're not going to lose any more baseball games, apparently. As they've climbed back into the mix, as has Seattle. So, you know, where it looked like for just a minute there, it might space out and there weren't as many teams, it looks like now that's changing again. And Detroit is very much in the mix. Tampa's staying in the mix. So there's a lot of teams that are still behind you. So, you know, the avoiding landmine part of this portion of the schedule is still important for the Royals, but it is very nice to see a little cushion. Houston is a head-to-head, you know, factor in these outcomes too, because Houston right now leads the West, but they could very much get passed in the West, and then they're a wild card team you're contending with. So that exists, you know, not to the same degree certainly as it did against Cleveland or will against Minnesota, but very much when we look at the playoffs overall, Tommy, this is a team that they could be competing with head to head for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I think that is important to keep in mind, because although the Astros have kind of declined a little bit as of late, they haven't played their best baseball, they're still in a position to be a playoff team, no doubt about it, whether they win the division or they get one of the wild card spots. I think that it's fair to say that with the talent on their roster that they've underachieved, I would say, the entire course of this season outside of a couple of stretches where they've been really, really hot. It's unlike what we're used to seeing from the Astros over the last, what, decade or so of when they've been pretty consistently good over the years. And so it's a little bit uncommon, I think, to see the Astros in this sort of hot and cold situation that they're in. The danger in that is that even though they're more cold than hot right this second, they do have the talent in their roster to flip that switch pretty quickly. And so the Royals need to be on guard for that this weekend. You know, you can't go into this series and let your guard down. One thing about Hunter Brown, by the way, is that, you know, he's faced the Royals twice, and I mentioned that the outing back in April. His ERA overall taking on the Royals in the two starts that he's had against Kansas City, he's got an ERA approaching 37. So it's not been a good couple of outings that Hunter Brown has had against Kansas City. You better believe that the lineup has taken note of that. Like, hey, we can hit this guy. We did it a few months ago at Kauffman. We can do it again tonight, and we can start this four-game stretch off with a bang. But one thing to keep in mind, when we've talked a lot about the rotation's fatigue issues and injury issues, Brady Singer has not been good at all in his last four turns through the rotation. I think we can call a spade here.
Yeah.
He's had an ERA over six over his last four starts. His, you know, opposing OPS, the batters he's faced in those four starts, is approaching 900. So, you know, he's got to find a way to get that turned around. And I think that it can absolutely start tonight when you're taking on, yeah, an Astros team that has a significant amount of talent, but also is a little bit cooled off right now. That's an opportunity, I think, for Brady Singer to kind of flip that script.
It is. And I don't, you know, he's tricky for me, Tommy, like, and he always has been, because he kind of is him no matter what. Right. Like, I don't know. I guess when I watch Singer pitch, I don't see a lot of difference in what you see game to game. It looks the same. It feels the same. But the outcome can be way different. Whereas some pitchers, like, you can look at them and be like, oh, they have their stuff today. You know what I mean? I've always thought that about Singer. Like, he gets I love watching him pitch because he's going to get up there. He's going to move quick. He's going to do his thing. He's doing all of those things. And then it's more on what the opponent does with it. I know it's more complicated than that, obviously. He just doesn't, it's just not quite the same when we watch it happen. And you're right, it's been very bad lately. And they kind of need him to step up now. But he does, and he had a good start against Cincinnati, by the way. He had a six-inning, no runs allowed start. But that was the only one that hasn't been at least three runs.
Yeah, over now, the entire last four starts combined, yeah, that ERA is pretty high.
Yeah, and so that should alarm you even more.
Yeah.
You got to consider he went six innings of scoreless baseball against Cincinnati. But I will say this. He's gone less than five innings zero times in his last seven starts. Okay, so he's going to battle for you. He may give up four, five, six runs, but he's going to battle for you. He'll get you through the fifth inning. And oftentimes he'll get you deeper into the game, even when he might be giving up some runs. If I'm looking at the starting rotation, Singer's not the one I'm worried about. Well, I'll put it that way. Not that that means I think he's going to come down and shut down the opposition every time. I think he's just going to continue to be what he is all year, which is when he's on, he is the other team really struggles. And when he's off, it can get out of hand in a hurry. There's not much in between. He's not the one I'm worried about. I'm worried about Lugo running out of gas. I'm worried about Reagan's running out of gas. You know, I'm worried to a lesser degree about Waka, for sure. He's the one I'm least worried about Singer. I'm actually least worried about Waka. But Singer's not the one I'm concerned about. We'll put it that way. It's Reagan's, it's Lugo, and it's now Marsh to some degree, although I think Marsh will battle for them. Those are the guys I think that have been more obvious in their, you know, their fatigue. I don't know that I'd say Singer seems fatigued as much to me as those others.
Yeah, I don't think the fatigue factor really plays into it a whole lot for Singer, because I take a look at the main other guys in that rotation, probably what outside of Reagan's. Lugo is older. Waka is older. Lorenzen is older. You know, Singer's not. And so I don't think it's been a fatigue factor necessarily for Brady Singer. I think you want to protect against that because, you know, you want to have Singer fresh and good to go when you're approaching the playoffs. But that's not a major concern for me. It's just the consistency. I don't fault fatigue for that. I just fault sometimes he goes out and he's really solid, and other times he's not.
Yep, I totally agree. But it, yeah, I don't think it's fatigue. Like when we watch Lugo pitch, and he struggles, you're like, he looks gassed, right? He just doesn't look like he did. You know, Reagan's, it's been less of a concern, but I think we maybe are starting to see it a little bit. And we'll see at, you know, Lorenzen's hurt. It sucks because Lorenzen got hurt not pitching, right? Covering the bag. We're spinning in circles here with Singer because it is the overall feel for the team. You need the offense to step up. You need the bullpen to be better. And it is a dangerous, dangerous series against Houston, who has the capability when they're on of being the best team in baseball. Flat period. If they're going right, if they're on that sort of groove, they are probably the best team in baseball. So hopefully the Royals can contend and do what they did in Cleveland and have that swag and, you know, get to them early and do all of those things and get a little more help from the starting rotation than they did against Cleveland in that series. All right. So we have our giveaway set up for Cody Jinks. Let's set up our other giveaway here. It's for HTO, iced tea and free rain coffee. We'll get you a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors to choose from, and a free rain coffee, which is coming iced or hot. There are two new options for you. Mocha butter pecan or dirty chai apple crisp. Those come iced or hot. You can get your hands on one of those. Try it out. All you got to do is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. That's T to 20357. Good luck, everybody. Good luck on the Cody Jinks giveaway. We're going to come back. We'll take you around some of the other headlines. You know another team that starts tonight? Colorado. It's like the trendiest upset pick going.
What? From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm so lost on Colorado. We'll talk about that and some other headlines around the sports world when we return on Sports Daily. Welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster alongside you. Glad to be here with you on this Thursday. KU plays tonight, 7 o'clock. The Royals, by the way, Bryce emailed, and appreciate the catch, Bryce. The Royals are 5.5 clear of Boston. They are 2 clear of Minnesota, who is 3.5 clear of Boston. They are 5.5 clear of that wild card spot. All right, Tommy, look, Colorado plays tonight. I'm kind of glad they get the spotlight somewhat to themselves, at least nationally. There are some decent games on tonight, but this is the one that is being the most talked about, which shouldn't surprise us. It would have probably been in year 2 under prime anyway. It certainly has been because A, the opponent is good, and B, prime cannot keep out of the headlines bickering with media constantly, whether it's national media, local media. Not sure he knows what the difference is sometimes. The range of outcomes here for Colorado at the beginning of the offseason felt large. It feels even larger now. Right, because I think for me, the floor is looking like it could be a whole lot lower than I once thought. You know, I thought they had a moderately high floor because I think they're very talented, but it's just been weird in Boulder this season. Weird, weird, weird. And I don't like, has there been anything positive? Has there been any positive vibe at all coming out of that program this offseason?
Yeah, not that I can think of. I think that really going into year number two, year one was full of hype and probably deservedly so. And sure, the way that the season got started for them, it was the biggest thing going on in college football before they really fell off a cliff and lost 8 of their last 9. The hype was there. This year, they need to have the results on the field do the talking. But I suspect that that's not going to happen. I suspect that there's going to continue to be the hype, but it's going to primarily be self-inflicted. It's going to be Dion, trying to keep that hype going and keep Colorado at the top of the news cycle week in and week out. The issue with that is that you're in a position now in year number 2 where you have to let the results on the field do the talking. You have to. Every program is that way. And I suspect that's going to be, ultimately probably the downfall of Dion's era at Colorado is just a lot of overpromising and a lot of underdelivering.
Well, look, the expectation from where Colorado was last year to me definitively was a good year for them, positive year. In reality, when you take where Colorado was essentially where Kansas was, right? Like they're just one of the worst Power 5 schools, now Power 4. And they came back and they won a handful of games. And yeah, they lost all those games down the stretch, but they were in a lot of them, right? They were competitive. It was different. Normally, the coach, after that year, if they come in the next year, win 5-6 games and are competitive, you'd feel like, yep, that's growth. That's the right direction. But I don't know that Prime is going to allow that to be reality there. And it's not that the funny thing about it is, like, I don't think that the pressure is coming externally. Like, I don't think it's coming from his bosses at Colorado.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think it's coming from fans.
It's self-inflicted.
At all.
It's self-inflicted.
Yeah, that's what's so weird. Like, is there a Colorado fan on the planet that doesn't think Prime is the right guy for the job and has made this program better? Because I would be stunned if there is. It's all coming from, like, insecurities from Deion Sanders. And it's so strange to see somebody who is so confident, right, with so much swag, all the things we love about, all the things I love about Prime. I loved that story last year. But it's just reeking of insecurity right now. And I don't know why that is. And that's the red flag for me where I'm like, God, maybe they're just not any good. Like, what is happening there? Because they have maybe the number one overall pick in the NFL. They have a Heisman candidate somewhere else on the field that's an incredible two-way player. They've brought in, and they have lost some of it, and that's where this all started, but they brought in a tremendous amount more talent than they had a year ago. Yet, you would think, without even playing a game, that they're 0-6 by the tone of things in the program.
Yeah, it's really shifted, and I think that from what I've been able to gather from all of this is that there have been media members, and in a lot of cases, local media members or from that area, Denver probably included, that have been critical, but I don't think that they've been necessarily unfair. I think that it's a situation where there are some, and I've read some of these columns, it's almost kind of like they're equating Prime and Colorado to the emperor having no clothes, where there's just a lot of talk and a lot of hype and the brashness and the guarantees and the swag and all of that. And then when you actually pull back the curtain, there's just not a whole lot there outside of a couple of really, really talented individual players. But as a whole, there just really isn't a whole lot there. That's, I think, been kind of the way that it's been summed up. And Dion has taken that absolutely personally. But here's the thing. I can tell that this is surprising to you. This is not surprising to me ever. And I like Prime. Prime has done some really, really amazing things both on the field and off the field. He was a great broadcaster for a number of years because of his charisma and all of that. He was a phenomenal two-sport player. But man, I can remember when I was a kid, because I grew up an Atlanta Braves fan, Deion Sanders playing for the Braves, and he got into an altercation with Tim McCarver because Tim McCarver was critical of him, and it resulted in Sanders dumping, I think, a bucket of water over Tim McCarver's head in the locker room. That was back in the early 90s. And that's only one example of several different examples over the time that Prime has been in the spotlight where he has really reacted poorly to any kind of criticism. That insecurity has been there forever. And I think that what ends up happening is that he tries to overcompensate for those insecurities, but they really come to light whenever anybody's critical.
But I think the overreaction, I agree with that. It's a good point. I think the overreaction is different. He had critics last year. He had critics when he took the job, and it was a different tone, right? Like, okay.
But the hype outweighed the criticism. And I think that's not really what's happening now.
Not before they played a game, it didn't. Before they played a game, it didn't. And he was just kind of like, watch us. Remember the speech he gave to the players, basically tell them to pack their suitcases and get out? Like, there was a ton of criticism before they played a game. And then they played a game, and it was like, oh, wow, they're way better than we thought they'd be. And then they had the crazy start, and that's when the real fun started. But he handled it like, I'm going to prove it to you. Now it's nothing but defensive tones for me. Like, oh, we're not talking to you anymore. Like, you had something negative to say. Like, if you can't get on board, like, I hate that. Not just from him, from anybody. And anybody in those sorts of positions where your livelihood is essentially based on your program's exposure and people talking about it. And that comes both from the lovers and the haters and everybody. I don't mind putting a chip on your shoulder, but don't be a baby about it. Like, that's what, like, just don't be a baby, you know, because that stuff seems like it's going to, I can't find a scenario where I don't see that bleeding onto the field. And so as I'm trying to guess at what Colorado might be and was so hopeful at this great story. And look, it's still going to be a lot of attention on the Big 12, and the Big 12 will gain from it still in a different way, perhaps. But while it was like, okay, like I know their top end talent is really, really good. How many games can they win? Last year, it felt like they were going to do nothing but overachieve every time they took the field. And for the most part, they did, quite frankly, based on what they were the year before. Now, when you hear all this every single day from the head coach, it's nothing but excuses and whining and bickering. How does that not bleed into the locker room and then onto the field? Which brings us to tonight against North Dakota State, when a program that is, you know, equivalent to any powerhouse you can imagine at the FBS level, who will have their affairs in order, who will have their ducks in a row, who likely will not make a ton of mistakes. What happens in this game? I haven't seen anybody pick a North Dakota State win. I've seen a whole lot of people pick North Dakota State covering 9.5. I would probably lean the other way, Tommy, just with the still off chance that those talented players come out with that chip on their shoulder. That's the other half of it. Prime is as good a chip on his shoulder, you know, athlete and coach as we've ever seen. But man, as far as overall expectations, I just imagine that uncertainty and that, I don't want to call it chaos because I've never been inside that locker room, but perceived disorder when you go up against some of the, like when you go up against a Leipold program or a K-State program or a, you know, Iowa State program, it feels like you're asking for trouble there.
We know because of the Chris Klieman connection that North Dakota State historically has been a powerhouse in FCS football. That being said, last year they came off one of their worst seasons that they had in a long time. They were 11-4, and that's one of their worst seasons.
Right.
You know, and I know that they're looking to get back to where, you know, they're used to being at the top of the FCS mountain. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that North Dakota State can give a program that's reeling like Colorado a run for their money. Do I think North Dakota State will win the game? Probably not. You know, but I do understand why it's been a pretty trendy upset pick, and that would just absolutely be just a seismic story if that happened tonight. I'm not anticipating that to happen, but you never know. From a spread perspective, though, I'm not sure I can, in good faith, bet Colorado to cover that spread. I don't know if I like Colorado to lay the points, because I do think that North Dakota State has shown, you know, time and time again, that they are a very capable football program, regardless if they're an FCS.
We'll make the pick. You taking nine? And which way?
I'll take the points. I mean, I'm going to take the points. I think that okay. I think that North Dakota State will cover.
I'll take the other side. I'll take the other side. What I'm afraid of is this is a flaming disaster for Colorado this year. And I really, 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 really don't want to see that happen. And so I'm going to just hold out hope and hopefully pick that they're living up to their upside and everything's okay. And oh, what a weird offseason it's been. I'm glad for their sake to be able to get to some games.
By the way, this isn't an official pick of our Friday picks, right? Okay, yeah. So I'll take the points.
Yeah.
I'll take North Dakota State.
That'll be tomorrow. We'll have that for you. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what's on the network today. Get some house cleaning done here on Sports Daily. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.